Morning, everyone. My name is Ajay Gulati. I'm a member of the Distributed Resource Management team at VMware. And as part of that team, in the last 5-6 years, we have built resource management for the private cloud where VMware really provides the solution. And in this talk, I'll be talking about the cloud scale resource management, where how do we take our existing rich set of controls and apply that to a really large scale environment, and what are some of the challenges and techniques in doing so. So if you look at the taxes or the dimensions for the cloud, there are two main constraints that one has to satisfy. One is the elasticity, where we want to be scalable at a very high rate. We want to be able to power on VMs, maybe 1,000 VMs in 10 minutes or so. Where Amazon EC2 does a great job of providing that elasticity. On the other hand, we also want to utilize the hardware resources as efficiently as possible, while providing all the necessary performance isolation between the VMs. And in that space, there are solutions like VMware DRS and some solutions from Microsoft, Microsoft Pro, where they provide you a rich set of controls, but they apparently do not scale very well to the cloud scale environments. And what we really want is a solution that has high elasticity as well as high efficiency. And given that the cloud service provider is a very competitive market, the revenue and margins are in literally pennies, and you want to be operating your hardware at the highest efficiency while having that elasticity to manage your hardware resources at the cloud scale. So what we want is EC2's elasticity with DRS's resource management. And let me just quickly explain what I mean by DRS's resource management and what we really provide in this set of controls. So DRS essentially provides this abstraction called resource pools. What that does is it allows you to hierarchically allocate resources to the set of VMs, and you can assign controls like reservations, limits, and shares on a per VM level as well as on a group of VM level on the tree. And what these controls mean, reservation means it would guarantee that amount of resources, you would get it no matter what. We do admission control based on that. Limit means it's a upper bound that you can set on any VM, and it won't get more than that resources no matter how much is available. And shares basically kick into play when there is contention for resources. So if the overall demand happens to be higher than the overall capacity of your cluster, then the shares would determine who should get how much, and the allocation is in proportion to shares. And what this allows you to do is it allows you to do the statistical multiplexing between different VMs and also do this fair allocation of resources. And to give you an example, here I have drawn a CPU resource pool tree where the reservation is set to 10 gigahertz, limit to 200, and shared is 1,000. And an organization can literally take this tree and say, I want to give 3 gigahertz to the finance department, and I want to give 7 gigahertz to the engineering department. And you can keep on setting the controls till the last level. Now, to give you a simple flavor of why this abstraction is really powerful, we can actually just look at the reservation setting here, and notice that I have set reservation of 2 and 4 on the children, whereas the parent reservation is 7. So the children reservation can actually be smaller than the parent reservation, and you can keep on doing that at the lower level. What this does is it basically allows the solution to divide the reservation based on the actual demand of the VM. So a customer can actually come in and say, I want to reserve 10 gigahertz for my 5 VMs, but I don't want to set individual VM settings. So you can set 10 gigahertz at the pool and 0 at the VM, and we would dynamically set the VM level reservation to actually be based on the demand of the VM at that time. And going back to the question that was asked in the previous talk, that how do you handle a set of VMs instead of a single VM? And this construct actually allows you to do that, where you have a set of VMs trying to do a single task, and you can do it by defining a resource pool on that set of VMs. And another nice feature about resource pool is that if one of the VMs idles and it stops using the resources that it was, then the resources are first given to the sibling VM in the resource pool before they are allocated to the other VMs. And it's a totally work-conserving scheme. It's just the order in which the resources are given to other VMs, which really have demand for that. Now, once we allow the customer to define this resource pool tree, it's the job of DRS to then come in and say, you don't have to worry about where these VMs would take place. You just define the tree as you have on the right-hand side, and DRS would come in and place the VMs onto the underlying physical hosts. Now, if you power on another VM, automatically DRS would figure out where it should be placed based on the CPU and memory resources, as well as all the settings that you have done in terms of reservation shares and payment. So you can keep powering on VMs, and it would automatically keep on placing them on host in a load balanced manner. But it's possible that at some point, a host may get overloaded because the VMs running there suddenly have really spiked in demand. In that case, again, DRS would kick in, and every 5 minutes, it looks at the load across all hosts, and it would migrate the VM automatically, and the user doesn't even have to come into play. You just set these controls, you enable DRS, and you are good to go. And it would alleviate any such hotspots within the cluster. Now, just to briefly go into how DRS works, more details are actually in the paper. We use something called dynamic entitlement as the load metric. It's not the current utilization, it's not the host level utilization. It's a value that we compute on a VM by VM basis, which is greater than the reservation, less than the limit, but it's dependent on the demand of the VM and the shares of the VM. And then we compute something called per host entitlement, which is sum of VM entitlement divided by the host capacity. And we basically reduce the standard deviation on this number NH using a greedy hill climbing problem. Now, two things I want to mention here. One, it's a multi-dimensional load balancing problem. We consider both CPU and memory in this case. And also we do very detailed cost-benefit analysis of every move, where the cost is actually the cost of migration in terms of the extra CPU cost, how much memory you are going to transfer, and also how much memory is actually active for the VM. Because it's not just the size of the memory, it's how much memory you are currently using and how much memory you are actually writing to. And also, another thing to note here is that we try to find incremental improvements. There are a lot of solutions where people talk about doing sort of reshuffling or placing the VMs onto host, which is not an option in a realistic cluster. You have to take the current state. When a new VM comes in, you have to basically apply something on the same state. You cannot reshuffle too much. Now, so far we have looked at how DRS works. Now the question is, can we take this rich set of controls and take them at the cloud level? Can we scale it to that level? And there we actually face a lot of challenges. One main challenge is the heterogeneity of resources in a cloud scale environment, where VMs may not be compatible to all the hosts. A very simple example is a CD drive that a VM needs may not be at the host. Another example is if a VM is running on an Intel box, it may not be able to migrate on an AMD box. Another issue that we face is that there are islands that get formed due to the connectivity of storage and networking. What I mean by that is, if you have a set of hosts that are connected to a particular storage device, a VM running there cannot migrate to another host because of the storage connectivity. Similarly, another issue is the high frequency of operations, where with the operations happening so fast, a centralized scheme may have high latency to do a lot of power ons really fast because of some sort of log serialization. A distributed scheme, on the other hand, would have to have the problem of stale inventory snapshot, where you are trying to make decisions independently, but both of them might try to place it on the same host. And similarly, you need to update host and VM stacks periodically to be able to create this inventory snapshot to be able to make these decisions. And failure tolerance is another issue where then you have to be able to handle failures happening at the cloud environment. To handle these issues, we actually talk about three schemes in the paper, and we are experimenting with these techniques, and I just briefly mention these because of lack of time. In hierarchical scaling, what we say is that you can create another load balancer on top of clusters. What that would do is, if one cluster gets overloaded, it would actually take some VMs out of that cluster and place it into another cluster. And a single cluster is actually maintained by DRS itself. The problem we face here is that the cluster level metrics for CPU and memory, they don't aggregate very well. Because if a cluster says it has 10 gigahertz of CPU available, it's not clear if that is 10 gigahertz spread across 20 hosts, or it is 10 gigahertz on just two hosts. Similarly, in case of flat scaling, one can build an overlay of all the virtualized hosts, and try to put VMs on that overlay. And when a new VM comes in, you can try to contact few hosts on the overlay and try to migrate the VM there or place the VM there. The problem with a completely distributed scheme is, again, it is very hard and challenging to build. And the bigger problem we face is there is no consistent view. Different hosts might query different set of hosts, and they may have inconsistent view of the system, which becomes a challenge to handle. I'm just skipping through something because of lack of time here. Finally, we look at statistical scaling. What that says is that even if you have a cluster of 1,000 hosts, you really don't have to do everything at the scale of 1,000 hosts. You can do something at a subset of hosts. For example, if you have to place a VM, instead of worrying about the full cluster, you can pick a subset of hosts in the cluster. This can be done randomly or in some greedy manner. And then you can just create a smaller cluster. We call it ephemeral cluster because it may not stay very long. And you run the existing algorithms to place the VM on one of the hosts in this key cluster. And similarly, you can place all the VMs in this environment by never taking a full snapshot, by just looking at subset of hosts. And the key idea is we try to do large-scale resource management by doing small-scale optimization. And there is a well-known result here for power of two choices, which explains that by having small amount of information, the load balancing can actually improve drastically. To conclude here, we think that a real good cloud solution needs to provide you both elasticity as well as very efficient resource management, and that would allow the service providers to get the maximum benefit out of their hardware resources. There are a lot of challenges involved, for example, scale, heterogeneity, rate of operations, and failure handling. And there are various techniques that one can look into, for example, hierarchical decomposition, completely decentralized solution, and doing some sort of statistical multiplication. Thank you.
We have time for a couple of questions again.
Hi, Andy Warfield from UBC. So this points in some really interesting directions. And on the PC, I remember being pretty excited about this after the discussion in the PC meeting, because one of the things that was discussed was that you have this figure one that has the algorithm from VMware's DRS implementation. And the discussion was around the fact that it was kind of broken, right? There were some problems with it in terms of it did the right job, but it wasn't the algorithm that you might have ideally done. It didn't necessarily terminate. It didn't necessarily converge. And so I actually thought this was great, right? I thought this was something I could point my students to and say, in industry, right, good enough is sometimes good enough, right? There are things that meet a ship deadline, they do the right thing, and, you know. Last night I was looking at the Cameretti paper, mm-hmm. and there's a new improved algorithm that mm-hmm. takes a checkpoint of the cluster, makes a plan. I'm just wondering which one is the real one.
So I think the previous algorithm, it's just that some details were missing in that, and that's mm-hmm. why it looked like it wasn't terminating. It obviously does terminate. We run it every 5 minutes, and a lot of people use it. And the new algorithm is basically more details are built into it. And that's a closer approximation to the existing implementation.
Really, so you're saying the first paper just misunderstood what was in.
I think it's basically product. Didn't present all the gory details of DRS algorithm. And there are a lot of things that we have still sort of skipped. For example, cost benefit. Cost benefit is a critical piece in the whole puzzle. But then in the paper, we didn't have enough room to put details of how exactly we compute
sure,
the cost.
Sure, no, I understand. I was just mostly wondering about the two algorithms. They look quite different between the
true.
Two.
True. I think we went through the reviewer comments, and they said, oh, this doesn't look like it's terminate. Now, obviously, we don't want to put an algorithm that looks like it doesn't terminate. So we added more details into it, and now if you read, it does terminate.
Okay.
And
so DRS does terminate.
It does, yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I Mike Schwartz. I wonder, in the last case, maybe you just didn't talk about it, what are the disadvantages? What doesn't come together in the statistical approach here?
So one thing is that clearly if you're looking at a subset of hosts, you may not be making the best decision that you would have if you had the full inventory snapshot. Because by definition, you are picking some random subset and you are trying to make a decision based on that. So there would be some loss of efficiency here. And I think the idea is that given that we have results like power of two choices, we think the loss of efficiency should be pretty small, single digit percentage or something, and that's the trade-off.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.